This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Welcome to Off-Season Dodger Talk, our second show of the off-season with you until 7 o'clock tonight. And by the way, Tuesday night off-season Dodger Talks will be from 6 to 7 o'clock. Our next show is this upcoming Friday night from 7 to 8 p.m. And whenever we're on the air, we are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. No, I will not be singing the rest of Baby's Black Balloon by the Goo Goo Dolls. And you know what? I'm very upset because Petros and Money stole my great show idea by taking calls on Otani or no Tani, so I guess I have to scrap that too. I'm really upset about that. They really stole that idea from me. 866-987-2570. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, one of the greatest hitters of his generation, the one and only Nomar Garcia-Parra, will be joining us to talk about not only the Dodgers offseason, but also the great work that his baseball group is doing in youth baseball around Southern California. And his Garcia-Parra baseball group is going to be involved with the Dodgers Youth Series Fantasy Camps at Dodger Stadium, which begin this weekend out there at Dodger Stadium. And tomorrow is the last day you could sign up for the December camp. So you want to go to Dodgers.com/camp. They're going to have not only Nomar and his staff out there, but also some of the great young Dodger players in the minor league organization out there working with the young kids that sign up at Dodgers.com/camp. Guys like Walker Buehler, DJ Peters, Keibert Ruiz, some of the great rising stars in the Dodger organization are going to be the instructors along with Nomar's Garcia-Parra baseball group. So you want to go to Dodgers.com/camp. Also, coming up in our next segment, you know, you might want to start racking your brain a little bit because I am going to give you my three favorite moments from the 2017 season. We want to hear yours as well at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. All right, we know all the rumors out there about Giancarlo Stanton and Shohei Ohtani. The latest from Ken Rosenthal is the Padres are the last team to meet with Ohtani. Yes, the Dodgers have already made their pitch to Shohei Ohtani, and it's down to seven teams, which we learned on Sunday when Brian Cashman basically took the veil of secrecy halfway away from Ohtani and his representatives after the Yankees were told no Ohtani to New York. Cashman basically started to be a spurned lover and let everybody know what Ohtani's plans were, which was to play on the West Coast and not necessarily for a big market team. And that's when all these baseball reporters in their local markets on the West Coast started dialing and texting and finding out more information, like the Minnesota Twins, very open saying they were out on Ohtani. Billy Beane with the A's, very open saying he was out on Ohtani. So all the teams that are out on Ohtani are singing like a canary. All the ones that are in on Ohtani are not saying anything. So that gives you some sort of perspective on that. And the San Diego Padres are one of the seven teams reportedly still in the mix for Shohei Ohtani. The others are Dodgers, Angels, Padres, Giants, Mariners, Rangers, and Cubs. So those are the final seven in the sweepstakes for Shohei Ohtani. Now, the bigger question is, and I guess throwing some cold water on all of this, yes, all these GMs are very competitive and want to land this kid. But realistically, what is he going to be able to provide your team next year? From the people I talk to, it's not 40 home runs and 25 wins. I think everybody, if the Dodgers do land Ohtani, should have realistic expectations of what he's going to provide. Even with him pitching every sixth day or even some seventh days during the course of a season, I heard some former GMs really expect him to be capped at 150 innings. He only pitched 24 innings last year for his Japanese team. So it's not like you're going to get a guy at 24 years old that's going to be Pedro Martinez throwing 250 innings. You're going to have a guy realistically throwing about 150 innings, which isn't bad. But I think the expectations should be realistic if the Dodgers do land this guy. And also, as far as the hitting goes, it is the National League. What position is he going to play? Do we know he's a capable outfielder? And also, you're running the risk of him injuring himself playing the outfield. That's why so many people feel like the American League is more tailor-made to what this kid wants to do. And also, it seems like from every report out there, him being 24 years old, Ohtani wants a team that's going to be committed to allow him to stick with pitching and hitting and allow him to be a two-way player. And I guess that's not that unreasonable of a request since he's only 24 and this would be his first exposure to Major League Baseball. But how does that fit for a team that was one win away in Game 7 from winning the World Series? And will that take away from the team? That's a question that still remains to be answered. Whether or not the Dodgers even sign Ohtani is still a big question. But I think that's a question for any team that signs Ohtani. Yeah, the Giants were baseball's worst team last year. So, yeah, they can afford and their fan base can afford to have patience like that. But when you're talking about a team like the Dodgers that went to Game 7 of the World Series and lost, and you're talking about a guy that's coming in and so much is being talked about what I want to do more so than what the team wants to do. And I know early on everybody said that he was a guy that wants to go to a team that has a chance to win. Well, yeah, that's great. But how is he going to help the team win? And is it going to be on the mound or is it going to be as a hitter? From what I heard, his command in the strike zone is not that great. So is there going to be a lot of growing pains that any team that signs him has to go through with him? And it seems like all the answers and signs are pointing to yes. Now, as far as Giancarlo Stanton goes, do you think he's a good fit for the Dodgers? Absolutely he is. But do the Dodgers feel like the financial commitment is worth the player they're getting in return? We all know what he did last year, 59 home runs, played 153 games, was unbelievable for a team that was half empty in their home ballpark and also played in games that really didn't matter. Now, Stanton's a really good player, and I'm a little biased towards him because he went to the same high school as I did, and I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last 5 or 6 years. He's a great guy to have on the team. But is he a guy that's committed to getting better? Really haven't seen him get better. Yes, he's had that power since the day he stepped into the major leagues, but has he gotten better as an outfielder? I would say in some respects, he's regressed as an outfielder defensively. And also, let's not forget the celebration of Yasiel Puig's breakthrough season. He was a finalist for the Gold Glove. Giancarlo Stanton wasn't. So if the Dodgers do make the trade for Giancarlo Stanton and do keep Yasiel Puig on the team, which I expect they will, Giancarlo Stanton would go to left field. That's not a bad outfield when you're talking about Giancarlo Stanton, Jock Peterson, Chris Taylor, and Yasiel Puig. Now, Al Leiter from Major League Baseball's network and a former Marlin has come up with a couple of different trade scenarios, and the one that he's really selling on Major League Baseball's network, especially today, is the Dodgers getting Giancarlo Stanton, taking his salary, and trading two guys that really have not been productive since the day the Dodgers signed them in Scott Kazmir and Brandon McCarthy, plus Yasmani Grandal and Yadier Alvarez. Now, the one thing everybody seems to fail to include when they're talking about trade scenarios between the Dodgers and Marlins is the Don Mattingly factor. Oh, yeah. The guy that managed the Dodgers and knows their farm system really well, knows their major league roster really well. I'm sure Mike Hill and Derek Jeter are asking him, what does he think about the players they're getting in return in a possible trade with the Dodgers? Now, maybe they're not, because there have been published reports that say the Marlins are more concerned about getting rid of Giancarlo Stanton's $295 million than they are in the return. Well, if they're so concerned about money, why would they take on three players that will command double figures in salary that would combine probably with Grandal in arbitration somewhere between $25 and $35 million? Why would they want to do that for even 1 year? Because Kazmir and McCarthy's contracts expire at the end of next year. Now, Grandal could be a free agent as well at the end of next year, I believe, but the Giants are offering a package of minor league players that may or may not be good and are really financially financially good for the Marlins. They are beneficial to what the Marlins want to do. So Giancarlo Stanton with the Dodgers for 10 years, he can opt out after 2020, but who would opt out of $295 million? I don't see that happening. And that's something the Dodgers have to make a decision on. I'm on the fence on it a little bit more after being completely against it. I'm a little bit more on the fence of Stanton, but let's not forget, too, it's not only committing the dollars to Giancarlo Stanton this year, but how is that going to affect the Dodgers next year when the big free agent class is on the market? Guys like Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Josh Donaldson, a guy by the name of Clayton Kershaw could be a free agent as well. How will that affect them next year? Similar to, you know, the big free agencies in the NBA, how is that going to affect the Dodgers not only this year, 5 years from now, but more importantly, how is it going to affect what they can do a year from now and stay away from the penalties of the luxury tax, which they have paid now for five consecutive years? And, you know, Tony Clark, doing such a great job for the players, actually created an artificial salary cap not only for international players like Shohei Ohtani in these circumstances, but also for major league players that want to sign with big markets. The luxury tax penalties are not only money, but now it's affecting teams developmentally because they would drop in the draft if they're over this luxury tax threshold, and more severe penalties as things go forward here. If you continue to go over that luxury tax threshold. So a lot of things working against saying yes to Stanton if you're the Dodgers. But one thing I've mentioned is that if Giancarlo Stanton really wants to be a Dodger, he could tell the Marlins, I am not accepting a trade to any team except the Dodgers. And from there, maybe he plays out the rest of the season in 2018 with the Marlins, and then the Dodgers have a lot more salary relief going into 2019 than what they have right now going into 2018, and maybe a trade is more doable with the Dodgers and Marlins. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue, more on Stanton and Ohtani, and also the player I think the Dodgers may be targeting under the radar during the offseason. Plus, want to hear your most memorable moment from this year's Dodgers season, which was pretty good. Maybe the best in 29 years. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. David Vasse, off-season Dodger talk with you until 7 o'clock tonight on AM570 LA Sports. David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight on off-season Dodger talk. Nomar Garcia-Parra coming up at 6:30. In case you miss any of the show, you can always podcast Dodger talk at AM570LASports.com. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Like I mentioned, Stanton and Ohtani, hypothetically speaking, and I know everybody gets all riled up and hot and bothered and love to get these guys in, but then when you take a step back, you have to really ask yourself, are they really the right fit for a team that was one win away from the World Series? Both guys can help them. Ohtani, I believe, from what I've been told, is more of a long-term project. But, you know, you get a guy that can throw 100 miles an hour if he could command it. And Rick Honeycutt is the best to help any of these pitchers. If anybody can do it, it's Rick Honeycutt to help guide this guy and shepherd this guy into becoming a better major league pitcher. 150 innings of a guy that could command that type of velocity would definitely be a boost whenever the Dodgers needed it. But also, too, where is he going to play? That's another question that really hasn't been answered yet and really won't be until the Dodgers sign him and we see him in spring training. Now, the Dodgers have not signed Ohtani. He has not let anybody know what he is thinking or where he's leaning. The only thing we do know is that the seven teams involved, all but one, have met with Ohtani. The only team to not have met with Ohtani to this point are the San Diego Padres. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to the phones for the first time tonight. Culver City, Kevin, you're on Off-Season Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, David, how's it going? I just wanted to let you know that was a great interview with EK. I want to put my producing hat on. You might want to have him on some Dodger Talk during the season. You guys have great chemistry. And I remember those days of Mike Blauer, so that was a great interview.
Yeah.
I just want to hear a couple things really quick about the
– Oh, Kevin, see, your phone cut out after you complimented me so much.
I don't want to second guess Dave about, you know, Clayton Kershaw, but I would have loved to see him let him finish game five and let him pitch game seven. I think you
finish
gotta,
game five.
You got to go away from the sabermetrics and just go with your best guys.
Finish game five?
Like that.
There is no way I would have had him finish game five, Kevin.
And then Giancarlo, you know, back to Giancarlo. I remember Giancarlo when he was Mike Stanton. He's an L.A. guy. I'm just saying it right now. He's going to be a Dodger. It's a done deal. If this deal was going to be done with San Francisco and the Cardinals, it would have happened by now. He only wants to go to one place after the Dodgers. He's told the Marlins he's not going anywhere but L.A., and they're going to make it happen. He's just waiting on the Dodgers to work things out. In the new baseball, you know, with the home run coming back, I think we need a guy like this to put with Bellinger and Seager. You saw what happened with Guerrero and Altuve. The big guys hit home runs. So, you know, when we came up short in game seven, we needed a power hitter like that. And going against the Nationals with Zimmerman and, Harper and the Cubs with Chris Bryant, we need a guy like Stanton. And, you know, he's a great home run hitter. He's really developed into a great hitter. And I think with a guy like Bellinger, Scott, you know, he'll be great. So I think this trade gets done. And I can't wait to see him in Dodger Blue at Dodger Stadium hitting those moonshots where you always hit some.
All right, Kevin.
Love the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it will be interesting to see what happens here. I guess there's reports out of Miami that this trade with Giancarlo Stanton will be happening within the next 2 or 3 days. So we'll finally get some finality to all of this. And Ohtani has to sign by December 22nd with a major league team as well. So this is not dragging on beyond Christmas as far as Ohtani goes. And reports are that Stanton will be traded this week. Let's go out to Burbank on our pound blue line. Mark, you're on with David Vasse. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. First off, I've been listening to you for years. You're getting better each year, and congratulations. And it's really wonderful hearing you during the off season. I have two really quick questions and one maybe suggestion for you. First question is, what's the latest with the Dodger relief pitcher Brandon Morrow? That's number one. Number two, do you think the Dodgers will ever reverse their policy of retiring players' jerseys who only make it to the Hall of Fame? Reason being, I'd love to see Fernando and Garvey have their jerseys retired. I think everybody would like that as well. And finally, my suggestion for you for maybe this offseason or maybe next season is if every once in a while, a couple of times a week, maybe you could lob Ross Porter a call and hear what Ross is thinking about the season and the Dodgers. Everybody loves Ross, and I know he's got some great insight, and you know, it'd be nice to hear what he has to say, and you do such a good job interviewing him. I'm sure everybody would love to hear a little bit more of Ross every once in a while.
You want to play a
little
Dodger? You want to play a little Dodger trivia, Mark? Is that what you want to do? I love Ross. Thank you for the phone call, Mark. Yeah, we'll check in with Ross definitely during the offseason. As far as Brandon Morrow goes, he's a guy that the Dodgers, I believe, probably had the best value sign out of any major league team with Brandon Morrow. He had a minor league contract coming into spring training, and he actually did not break camp with the Dodgers and finally got his first exposure to the Dodgers pitching for them in May. So he is a guy that's going to command a lot of dollars, and I don't see the Dodgers going out and giving him the same kind of money that he probably is going to get now as a closer with another team. They're going to find another Brandon Morrow, and they're going to get him at a good value. So I think that's what the history tells us about Andrew Friedman. He's really good at doing that, and I'm sure he would tell you as much as anything. Alex Anthopoulos and also Farhan Zaidi had a lot to do with that signing. So, you know, Brandon Morrow's a great guy, and he had a great year for being healthy. And that was a low-risk, high-reward type of sign because of the injury history Morrow has had. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Riverside. Ken, you're on with David Vasse on AM570 LA Sports. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing? Happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
You know what? You touched on a good point. I don't really want to see Stanton come over because of the next free agent class that's coming up. There's going to be a lot of big names that are a lot younger than Stanton is. And I'd like to hear your opinion on this. I don't really want Ohtani to come over, too, if he's wanting to be a pitcher and to play the field, because to me that kind of doubles the chances of him getting hurt, my thinking is. And like I said, I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Playing in the National League, Ken, you're going to play the outfield. There's a very good chance you're going to get injured. Remember Cody Bellinger in Detroit when Adrian Gonzalez came back and he was playing right field? He rolled his ankle. Those things happen, and that is a real possibility. And that's why a lot of people feel that if Ohtani is set on being a two-way player, which all indications are that he is, the American League would be better for that. But when you have a player that is this good and this young at this price, you cannot just let him walk to an American League team without trying to give it a fight to sign him. And kudos to the Dodgers for going hard after him, because Andrew Friedman has put in some great people in place for the recruitment of Ohtani. Now let's see whether or not that has any sway over his decision, because nobody knows what his line of thinking is and what is more important than something else. The only thing we know is the most important thing is that he is able, and the team that signs him is committed to allowing him to continue to be a guy that the Dodgers or any other team will stick with, allowing him to try to be a two-way player. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. So much hot stoves talk, I might not even be able to get to my three best moments of the Dodger season, so we might have to hold out for that on Friday because we have to break. Nomar Garciaparra is coming up next to talk about youth baseball and the Nomar Garciaparra Baseball Group, heavily involved with the Dodgers Youth Camp Series this weekend at Dodger Stadium and a couple of more times in December. We'll get his thoughts on Giancarlo Stanton, being from Southern California, going to high school out here himself. So we'll hear from Nomar on that. So don't go anywhere. More Nissan off-season Dodger talk is next on AM570 LA Sports. This is off-season Dodger talk. David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. But before we get back to the phone calls and all the Ohtani calls and all the Giancarlo Stanton calls, we got a very special guest on the line, two-time batting champion, former Dodger, and like I always say, one of, if not the best hitter of his generation. And Sportsnet LA and the Dodgers are very lucky to have him part of the family. That's one and only Nomar Garciaparra. Nomar, how you doing?
I'm doing great, David. How are you?
Great. Now that I hear your voice, it makes me feel like everything is okay in my world again.
Listen, everything is okay in your world. Are you kidding me?
Can you hear it in my voice? Do you hear in my voice that I'm in better shape than the last time you saw me? Do you believe that?
I do. I do. Wait a minute. Maybe not better shape, but you sound rested. Is that a better way to say it?
Yes, I'm rested and ready now to start working out.
Oh, well, good. Good to hear. Well, tell me when you reach two push-ups. We'll be good.
We'll do. We'll check back in spring training, Nomar. Nomar, speaking of working out, the Dodgers and the Garciaparra Baseball Group have teamed up together to put on some great youth baseball camps at Dodger Stadium. The first session is going to be this weekend out there at Dodger Stadium, and fans can still sign up for this session and others later this month and in the month of January by going to Dodgers.com/camp. How exciting is it for you to be able to have your baseball group involved with the Dodgers youth baseball camps during the offseason?
It's really exciting. We ended up doing it last year as well, and that was the first time we were able to get involved, and it went so great. I mean, the campers had a tremendous time, and not only just the campers, but also some of the Dodger prospects that were involved. I know last year you had Walker Buehler, Alex Verdugo, Kyle Farmer. These guys were a part of it, and here these guys were now in the big leagues, you know, contributing to the Dodger great run. But I know Walker Buehler, Alex Verdugo are going to come back. They talked about how much fun that they had, you know, working with the kids. And, you know, we flew some of the staff also from our facilities up in Washington. We have three facilities up in the Tacoma, Seattle area. That staff also flies down to also help run the camps here. They're tremendous camps. They're probably different than what people had ever seen before as well out there. And at Dodger Stadium, I mean, it's a great experience. They have some that have different age groups. You know, they start in December. You had two. It's just 2 days in December, 9-10, for ages 7 through 12. And then we have a high school baseball camp at Dodger Stadium on the December 16th and 17th. And then we carry it into January. And listen, we don't forget softball. We have a softball camp for ages 9 to 16 on January 6th through the 7th. And then we have another one of the youth big league experience camp for the 7 and 12-year-olds at January 13th and 14th. So it's exciting, to be a part of it. I know my staff, who had so much fun last year doing it, they're excited to do it again. It is a full day at Dodger Stadium, which you get to enjoy. You got tour of Dodger Stadium, which is really neat. You get autographs. You get behind-the-scenes look at the stadium. You get a vouchers for Dodger preseason game. There's T-shirts, a gift bag. There's a whole lot of different things. But just to be also at Dodger Stadium was really cool last year as we set up the field while games were going on, and kids were actually like hitting home runs over the outfield wall.
Wow.
As well. So they got to experience that. Parents were in the stands, and so you had some parents looking at their child hitting a home run over the stands. So that was really neat, and watching their ball fly in the stands and trying to catch it. So it was a pretty good experience for everyone.
Yeah, like Nomar said, it's always great to play at Dodger Stadium and get that behind-the-scenes tour, but that sounds like a pretty good swag bag too, Nomar.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. I mean, I thought it was so cool that you had campers from last year who are going out there and they're learning from, you know, guys who are right now in the minor leagues and prospects, but now they're learning from guys who are in the big league. I mean, they're these very same guys last year that were coaching them. They were able to watch on TV and watch them perform and go out there and wear that Dodgers uniform at the highest level, which I think is so cool. And now they have an opportunity to see these other guys as well who are going to be knocking on the door and possibly contribute next year as well. And I think that is pretty neat.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're talking about the best of the best from the Dodgers minor leagues, and you're talking about two guys that were the Branch Rickey Pitchers of the Year and Player of the Year, and Keibert Ruiz, who's a great catcher that was down there in Double-A. He's going to be part of it. And like you said, Walker Buehler is going to be back participating in these camps, and DJ Peters, the Dodgers' top outfield prospect that played for Rancho and also Double-A at the end of the year from Glendora, is going to be out there. And I guess maybe for you, Nomar, it's a great experience to see some of these younger Dodgers and not only what they can do athletically, but, you know, their makeup as people to work with these kids.
Yeah, what I thought was really telling was last year there were some of the guys who actually, some of the prospects who worked it, and after they were done, they knew about our facility out in the South Bay, and they were saying, listen, is there any way I can possibly come out and just help at the facility at times? They said it was so neat to be able to go out there and teach and be around the kids. And not only that, they said they learned themselves. You know, sometimes, you know, we get so caught up and so focused as players of what we have to do, and we're just being told at times what to do, and you're just kind of following it. But sometimes when you take a step back and then you realize what you have to teach, you really kind of have to analyze yourself on how you're going to have to, you know, pass on that knowledge. And sometimes it's a reminder for yourself, and you start learning. And then when you're talking about teaching with other, you know, not only fellow teammates, but also guys who have been doing it from experience now, from our staff and our other staff from Washington, And when they're talking to each other, these guys who have played, some of these guys have already played in the big leagues as well. They played professional baseball. So now they're even gaining more knowledge collectively. And when you start talking and sharing that knowledge, that's when the true growth really happens. And they recognize that. So I thought that was, that in and of itself was another experience. So the kids get an experience, and these guys who are playing professional baseball are realizing the benefit of this type of experience.
And if you want to sign your kids up for the Dodgers Youth Camp Series at Dodger Stadium, go to Dodgers.com/camp. Nomar Garcia-Para is our guest. His baseball group is very much involved in partnering with the Dodgers in these youth series of camps. And Nomar, a guy that was very fundamentally sound as a major league player, so much so Ted Williams gravitated towards you when you were playing for the Red Sox. What are some of the things you're trying to teach kids now today? Because I heard something pretty scary the other day where my friend's son, who's only about 10 years old, was talking about launch angle. That's kind of scary to me, Nomar.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you hear a lot of that out there. Guys are going to be talking about coaches or people who have the coach, who are giving themselves a coach label, but doesn't necessarily know what coach means or define it compared to those who are instructors, such as the guys that we end up hiring. You could talk about launch angle, but do you really know what that means and what that entails and how that really translates to a young kid? It's not the best thing to be telling them. You know, the big leaguers are some guys, when they talk about it, they talk about it in a different way in understanding themselves and what they're actually trying to achieve by what that thought process for them to achieve their swing, you know, as it's going through the hitting zone. It's a lot different than what people are thinking. A lot of times when you hear launch angle, a kid wants to just start swinging up, and that's not really necessarily what these big leaguers are just doing, is trying to just hit that ball, swing the bat up. You know, they're trying to lift, but there are different ways to try to lift that ball and what they're trying to achieve. So they have to be very careful. I think sometimes when they hear some of the verbiage, if you don't know how to translate it, that's why I always talk about these instructors that I know we hire who can talk from experience, because we always say our guys have a PhD in baseball because of the experience that they had that now they get to share with the youth. So they can actually translate what they mean by the launch angle and do it and not just regurgitate it because they heard it on television or they're able to see what this, you know, some of these analytics that are going out there and thinking, oh, well, I can see those analytics and I can be able to go coach and teach because I can just regurgitate something. No, there's a lot more to it in understanding. And that's why I'm proud of the guys that we have on staff, especially also the staff that we have up in Washington, up there at the Northwest Prospect Academy, that are just unbelievable, who understand that. They know how to translate that data. They know how to also implement it and help the child get better.
Now, Nomar, those of us that have grew up here in Southern California know the legend of the Whittier Whiz, Nomar Garcia-Para, and his athletic prowess and how good your dad was as a father and also a coach to you and your brother. What would be one piece of advice you would give some of these overzealous parents trying to force their kids to play baseball 24/7, 365 days a year?
That you got to be an athlete to play this game. You don't have to, you're not supposed to be just a baseball player. That you need to play. I don't like when they specialize. You don't need to specialize in baseball. I didn't specialize till I was in college. You can do that later. But I see some of them saying you got to specialize or 9, 10, I think you're doing the child a disservice. I loved baseball even when I was younger. There's no question about it. I loved it. But I played soccer. I played, you know, in high school, I played soccer, football, and baseball. And I always tell this, just as what people don't understand, is you are building different muscles when you play other sports. But you're also building your mind in certain situations that help you from the other sports. I always said, you know, when I was dealing with the pressure at the major league level, ninth inning, you're facing a closer, game on the line, and you're trying to get that big hit. I can't recall any game when I was younger that got me ready from that. I can't recall this is just like when I was in Little League. Or that doesn't come up in my head one bit. didn't help me in any situation. I'll tell you what I do remember, though, was when I had to make a field goal with 3 seconds left, 45-yard field goal with 3 seconds left, and you're down by one. I remember the penalty kick I had to take in a soccer game in the state championship, and there was, you know, a minute left on the clock in the 0-0 game that I had to come through. So those got me ready for this moment. It had nothing to do with anything I did in baseball. So all of these other sports help you become the baseball player that you want to be. And I mean, if you look at some of these great baseball players today, I mean, Derek Lowe was an all-state basketball player, you know, one of my former teammates. You hear, you know, Omar Vizquel is a great shortstop. He was a great soccer player as well. I mean, all these other guys, Matt Holliday was an all-state, all-world quarterback. And there's so all these, even some of these guys right now, the Dodgers played other sports that help them become that. So I recommend playing other sports. Don't let them get burnout in one. Let them learn from the other one that they can use later on. They have plenty of time to specialize later in life. They don't need to be doing it 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Go out there, play other things.
Hey, that's why he's a legend at St. John Bosco out there in Bellflower, because of all the sports that he dominated, soccer, football, and of course, baseball. And Georgia Tech actually wanted you to be their field goal kicker, right, Nomar?
They did. Yeah, I was actually I was out there with the football team for about 4 weeks 1 year. So yeah, I was actually going there to play both football and baseball. They didn't know I missed that 3-step, 45-yard field goal with 3 seconds left. But we don't have to bring that up.
Yeah,
to let them know that. But anyway,
I wasn't going to ask you if you made it or you missed it, Nomar.
I made the penalty kick, missed the field goal, but anyway, we can talk later about that. We'll talk off the air. No.
Yeah, one of those bus rides, right, Nomar? You could tell me about that. Hey, before I let you go, Nomar, everybody's talking about Stanton and Ohtani. One thing I want to ask you about Stanton, you've had power as a player. Do you think he's able to force his way to whatever team he wants to go to, whether it's the Dodgers or another team on the West Coast?
To say he can force it, I don't think he can say he can force it. I think that's a strong word to say he can force wherever he would like to go. I think he's in a position where he could have an input, one, with a no trade clause. So, you know, to put himself in that position, kudos to him. And then two, having so many people who want him. Those are the positions you want to be in, and that's what he created for himself from the hard work and what he's done in this game. So I don't think it's force. But I think he has what you want, or as a player, is to be able to at least have some say, because, you know, early on, you don't have say. You don't have a say who drafts you. You don't have a say for, you know, when you're going to get called up. And, you know, they have your rights for 6 years in the minors. And then when you do called up, that clock starts all over again until you get free agent. So sometimes having that say or having that ability is nice, and you do everything you can to be able to utilize that. So he's in that position right now. So I don't think he'll force it, but at the same time, you know, he's holding a lot of cards, and kudos to him. And I'm sure any team would like a guy like that in the middle of their lineup. I'll tell you, you said I have power. No, I have nothing compared to that guy. Are you kidding me? The power and watching him, the way the ball, when you hear it all the time, and guys who are, it's a different sound. It is different coming off of that man's bat. It is, wow. You definitely stop and watch him take batting practice, because it is so different and stands out from everybody else.
Eric Caro said that last week too. That's one guy that he would go early to watch take BP.
Yeah. And I'd make sure I'm behind the net.
Come on, Nomar, you should shag for him.
No, I'm good. I'm going to be behind and watch him launch the balls out of the stadium. I mean, that's the way he protects fans, because he launched them out of the stadium.
Yeah, wow. No netting necessary. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Nomar and the Nomar Garcia Parra Baseball Group is going to be part of the Dodgers Youth Series starting this weekend at Dodger Stadium. And if you want to sign your kids up, which I strongly suggest you do, Dodgers.com/camp. Nomar, yeah.
Remind them for December, the camps for December, the last day to sign up is tomorrow. So don't hesitate.
Yeah,
for
tomorrow.
For tomorrow. So they sign up by tomorrow for December's, and then for January, you have the end of the month to sign up for those. But I wouldn't hesitate, because you want to make sure, you know, because spots are filling up, and they make a great Christmas gift. So just throw that out there, too.
Hey, by the time this interview's over, The spots are going to be filled, so you better log on.
Good. That a boy, Dave. I like the way you think.
Merry Christmas, Nomar, and you're right. This is a great Christmas gift for your kid. You could surprise him, and hopefully I see you before spring training.
That sounds great. All right, Dave. Take care. Thanks.
Thanks to Nomar Garcia-Parra. Sorry it went a little bit longer than expected, but I really feel strongly about getting the message out to all the parents out there about youth baseball because I hear so many different things that make me cringe, and nobody to tell you directly than a guy that played it at a high level was a guy that played three big sports at St. John Bosco out there and was not just focused on baseball. And also, too, I remember talking to Clayton Kershaw a couple of years ago because he hears some of this stuff, too. He said the same exact thing as Nomar Garcia-Parra did. Have your kids play different sports. Don't just have them play baseball. You burn them out. I heard one parent one time say her kid is the ticket to paying for college. So that is some of the mentality I hear out there and really makes me sick to my stomach. But to hear Nomar give that kind of perspective is big. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk. Our next show is Friday, 7 to 8 p.m. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help, and thank you for listening. See ya.